Well, we're going to change our focus a little. We're going to go from the back of the animal to the front of the animal, because I want to talk about enteric methane, which primarily comes out of the animal's mouth. So that's how you can tell if someone knows what they're talking about, because in the popular press you always see this fog that's coming out of the animal, the rear of the animal. Wrong. This is part of a larger effort that we are undertaking with some partners at our ARS lab in El Reno. So the whole motivation behind this is greenhouse gases. And agricultural accounts for about 10% of the U.S. greenhouse gas inventory. And when you break down that slice of the pie that's enteric methane, you find that methane from grazing beef cattle is going to account for about 20% of the agricultural emissions. So it's an important fraction of the contribution that we make to our national inventory. I'm going to focus on some methodologies, because what we're dealing with cattle are basically these mobile mesophilic fermentation vessels. And measuring enteric methane from them is a real challenge. So there, we're going to employ a number of techniques to try and get at that enteric methane. So I'm going to be talking about dispersion analysis. Now that's embodied in this really useful software package called WinTrax. If you can measure concentration, if you can have some measure of the turbulence of the atmosphere, and that you know something about where your sources of methane are, then you can quantify emissions of any number of gases. It's been successfully applied to feed yards. But in a feed yard, you have animals that are closely bunched together, and so you can treat that enteric methane source as a surface area. And you can use what's called the backward mode of WinTrax. It's very efficient. It's very quick. But if you have cattle that are dispersed over a landscape in a pasture, you have very low density, and now your enteric methane source are mobile point sources, and you have to use what's called the forward mode of WinTrax, and that is very time consuming, and it requires a lot more information to get it to work. So what we want to do is compare these different approaches. First of all, the forward dispersion analysis using cattle as mobile point sources, and then two types of backward dispersion analysis, one in which we define the cattle as a polygon, a complex shape, and another one in which we're going to define the cattle as a source area that's just a simple quadrangle. And then finally, we're going to add in two other methods, the green feed system, which you're going to see in a little bit, and then some tier two calculations of enteric methane emissions from cattle. This research was in central Oklahoma at the Grazing Lands Research Laboratory at El Reno. The red square here shows where the pasture was, where we did the research. It's a 26-hectare portion of a quarter-section pasture of tall grass prairie, which is predominantly big blue stem. And so here are the five methods. The thing about these methods is they all measure something that's a little different. For example, the dispersion analysis methods have the soil included in the measurement, because we're integrating it over the whole pasture. So we had some concurrent measurements of soil, and we found that the soil was a very weak sink for methane. And absorbance into the soil was only 0.15% of the total emissions from the pasture. So we can consider that negligible. For the green feed, because it's just measuring what's coming out of the cattle's mouth, we have to have some kind of estimate of hindgut emission. That's fairly well understood, so we can estimate that. And because these were mama cows with 150 kilogram calves, we had to have some estimate of calf emission. And we used the IPCC Tier 2 calculations and then also went to the literature and modified the parameters for that calculation. So now we can kind of compare apples to apples. It's really important to know where these cattle are in the pasture. So we affixed GPS collars on all the cattle, and we assumed that the calves stayed with their dams while they were in the pasture. We measured methane concentration over the pasture using open path lasers on scanners so that we could make multiple laser lines and get multiple concentrations with each of our three open path lasers. Here's the locations of the lasers in the pasture. We had a total of 16 laser lines, so 16 concentrations crisscrossing this pasture. Our thinking being that no matter where the cattle herd was, we would always have an upwind concentration and always have a downwind concentration. The GF indicates where the green feed systems were located. The S, where our sonic anemometers were, critical because they describe the turbulence of the atmosphere. And then the WT is where the water tank was. Now, when we want to do the backward dispersion analysis, where the cattle are, we assume that the cattle are an area source. This is what we want to see right here, when the cattle are bunched together, when they're loafing. You can see that it'd be very easy to define this as an area source, and you can really get much more dense stocking rates here than you do even in a feed yard. So this is an example of the area sources. The one on the left is a polygon, and then the one on the right is a quadrangle. You know, there's not much difference in area between these two. But there also were situations where the cattle were more spread out, and the polygons and the quadrangles got bigger. So the quadrangles at sometimes were almost twice the area of the polygon, and something that we wanted to look at closely, and I'll show you that in a little bit. This is the green feed. Basically what it is, it's a breathalyzer for cattle. They stick their head in this little hood right here to get a little treat. And as they're in there, their breath is being constantly sampled. And they actually like it. It doesn't take much to train them to do this, but they'll be a line there to get into the breathalyzer. These data are uploaded to the manufacturer CELOC, and then they apply some voodoo and then calculate the emissions for you. And then the IPCC Tier 2 calculation was where the per capita emission rate is a function of the gross energy intake of the animal and YM, which is the methane conversion factor. It's the amount of the energy that's converted into methane. So what we did is we took a 15 quarter hour observations where we had forward dispersion analysis and we had the cattle bunched together so that we could get a good comparison between these three methods. So this is on day 185 of our study. It starts about in the mid-afternoon and goes to about 10 o'clock at night. And you see that the three dispersion analysis methods track pretty well together. There are a few that deviate from each other, but generally they trend well together. And when we look at the means of the three methods, the backward polygon, backward quadrangle, and forward, they there's no difference between the three methods. This was kind of encouraging. But remember, there was a lot of difference in the area of those quadrangles and polygons. So what you see here is the ratio of the area of the quadrangle and polygon to the ratio of the emission rate of the quadrangle and polygon. And if they lie right along this one-to-one line there, that means that the emission rates really didn't change as the area increased. So that was encouraging because we were actually getting to almost 2.25 times the area with the when we looked at the quadrangle. This is a 5-day study, so we took, because there was no difference between the backward and forward, we used the forward because we had more data with it and compared it to the green feed method and the tier 2 method. And again, there was no significant difference between the three methods. This is a little different. On the y-axis, I'm showing the methane emissions normalized by body weight. And I did it that way because that lets us compare those emissions to emissions from other studies. Because you see, there's a wide range of cattle weights in these other studies. Here's this study right here that we're talking about now. But what's interesting, and this was kind of surprising, these enteric methane emission rates fall fairly consistently in a range of 0.5 to 0.6. kilograms of methane per kilogram of, or grams per day of methane per kilogram of body weight. Our forward and backward dispersion analysis gave similar results, but there's a big caveat here. The cattle have to be bunched and they have to be stationary. Now, this has important implications when you're trying to do these calculations because the backward dispersion analysis is a much quicker, more efficient way of calculating emissions. So I can take a quarter hour and it may only take me 10 minutes to calculate that quarter hour. But when I do a forward analysis, it may take me a day and a half to do a day. So it's not even a real-time calculation. So if I can use the backward dispersion analysis, I'm going to save a lot of time and a lot of grief as far as the calculations. So this is why the backward is preferred over the forward, when applicable, because there are times when you have to use the forward. When the cattle are fairly dispersed, you have to use the forward. The green feed, the tier 2, gave reasonable estimates of enteric methane emissions. And finally, kind of our philosophy is that we want to use as many methods and as independent methods as we can so that we can start to bracket emissions. Because that real number, it's got to be in here somewhere. So as we get apply our methods, we can start to hone in on that number. So for a cow-calf pair grazing tall grass, early season tall grass prairie, we're fairly confident that those emissions are in that range of 340 to 385 grams per day per cow-calf pair. And when we normalize by body weight, is in that range of 0.49 to 0.55 kilograms per day per kilogram of body weight. So I'd be glad to take some questions. Yes.
Thanks for that presentation. Did you normalize when you normalized the cow calf pairs? Did you add the weight of the calf to it? And I have a second question: is whether are there any differences in methane emissions between a suckling calf and a lean calf?
Yes, we did include the weight of the calf when we normalized, but there actually were two The top one there is with the calves, and the second one is without the calf. So we actually did it both ways, and that kind of defined the range. And your second question was, yes, there is a difference, because they will increase their intake of forage as they get older. And it was real hard finding in the literature those values of forage intake per body weight. And there are a couple of studies that show that and look at different stages. So the one we used for these 150-kilogram calves was 1.2% of body weight for dry matter intake. Yes.
If we were to move this to a different type of pasture system, let's move it east on a heavily improved pasture system. I'm going to ask your opinion on the tier 2 bin, but how closely is that YM going to hold through if we move it on those different systems?
Well, YM is going to vary within a system too, as you go through the season and forage digestibility decreases. So we would expect YM to increase. I would say as you go, say, to an eastern, maybe more managed pasture that may have some. Do they fertilize pastures back east? No, sometimes. That you would have a more digestible forage, and so you would have a lower YM value. So that's going to change. But does it have a big effect on that calculation? I don't know. I was surprised that tier 2 method did as well as it did. I just pulled the 6.5% because that's what's recommended. There are ways to fine-tune that. Andy Cole has done that for feed yard cattle, where he's fine-tuned YM and made it a function of the type of feed. So we can do better with that, I think. But it did fairly well. Thank you.